What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
I, Josh Hadley, am always with the cat on Saturday night.
Hello.
Doesn't mean he gets pussy.
Oh, I wasn't implying
true
such.
Story.
All right, really funny story behind that. Charlie, explain to us your patience hole.
Well, you told me to be patient, and I took exception to the insinuation that I'm not patient, and I said, hey, I got patience coming out of my ass, or as I will call it from now on, the patience hole, because of how patient I am.
The things you learn about the McMullen. You wonder why your nickname is sometimes the Fister, huh?
I do not.
We're going to have another...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Show tonight, because we've got a whole bunch of things that really just deserve a mention, and that's it. Have either of you guys seen the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that was released this last week?
I actually haven't seen the trailer, surprisingly. I've read like a bajillion articles, but I haven't seen the trailer because I'm a terrible, terrible nerd.
I have not seen the trailer either, but I did see a still, and there was a raccoon standing there in a vest, so I'm happy with it.
Rocket raccoon, yes. Here's the reason I want to talk about this. I'm not going to be talking about my issues that I have with the trailer or the movie or anything. They use blue suede's Hooked on a Feeling, you know, with the ooga chaka, ooga chaka, very prominently in the trailer. And even some of the posters are Guardians of the Galaxy ooga chaka. So apparently it's a big key thing in the movie. Are people really just sheeple? The day after the trailer came out, downloads on iTunes of Hooked on a Feeling have gone up 700%. So apparently people didn't realize, hey, I like this song until it's in a movie trailer. What does that say about us?
Well, it says Blue Suede is getting a lot of credit that they don't really deserve. If people are going to forget that song so easily, and I think they should, because Hooked on a Feeling is not a good song. It's not. It's fucking lame. It's not even bad enough to where you could like it, ironically. There's nothing good about it. And if all it has to do is be in a Guardians of the Galaxy preview for a lot of people to download it right away, then yes, it paints us in a very stupid, ignorant picture.
I'd like to think that it's just a lot of people are being exposed to a song they've never heard before in a new environment that they wouldn't have thought to associate it with before. Maybe it's damn catchy for some people.
Well, it kind of goes to, did you ever see the series finale of The Sopranos?
Stop Believing.
Journey's Don't Stop Believing plays prominently into the very final scene of the series. The night after that aired, a 900% jump in downloads of Don't Stop Believing on iTunes. It's almost like people can't decide they like something until it's in something cool, then now it's okay to like that. Let's face it. Hooked on a Feeling and Don't Stop Believing are goofy fucking songs. But it's like, oh, The Sopranos endorsed Don't Stop Believing, so that makes it cool. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy endorsed Hooked on a Feeling. That makes it cool. That I find kind of offensive.
I don't know. I'd like to think that maybe people were like, oh, well, at least with Don't Stop Believing, I would say a lot of people were like, huh, I really like that song. I haven't heard it for a while. I've been meaning to get a copy of that song. Oh, look, here it's conveniently linked for me. You know, like, here's that little reminder. Ooh, I really should download that song or something like that. At least in terms of Journey, that song's been popular for a long time. I don't really think people are going to like it all of a sudden because The Sopranos played it in an episode. I seriously don't think that's the deal with fucking Journey, man. It's Journey. Ooga Chaka, I have no explanation for. It's really fun hearing the words Ooga Chaka, not gonna lie.
Well, okay, I'll give you that. I can't deny that because you're right. But it just, it seems to me like everyone are just sheeple, that they just, oh, hey, it's in something cool, so now it's cool to like that thing I couldn't like before. Isn't it almost anti-hipsterism?
A lot of people had probably never heard the song before or had never known that they liked the song until they heard it there. There are songs that I have never heard until I heard them in an AMV, like an anime music video. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, I really like that song. I think maybe I should download that song because I really like it. I've been exposed to a lot of really good music that way. Not because it was associated with any particular nerdy thing I was interested in, just because I actually liked the song.
I'd have to be like a gigantic asshole to object to people liking a song, regardless of what the reason is. So I'm not, like, offended that people are into Blue Suede now that the song was in the trailer. I would like for it to go even a step further and have like a cool thing for kids to do is just to dress themselves head to toe in blue suede. That would be awesome.
All right, well, let's move from that to I don't eat Hot Pockets. I've never eaten Hot Pockets. Have either of you hot pocket food? I mean, Charlie, you're a stoner, so I'm going to guess it's probably one of your go-tos, right?
That has nothing to do with it. I'll have you know, I have eaten hot pockets before. It's because, you know, they're convenient, and sometimes I like having diarrhea. It clears out the system. It's like pooping is the new vomiting.
I was in college once. I ate hot pockets.
Well, do you see that there's a massive 8.7 million pound recall? So I'm just going to round to 9 million, okay? It's close enough. A 9 million pound recall of Hot Pockets because, quoting, the meat was from diseased and unsound animals. Or as I put it, so normal Hot Pockets?
Yeah.
Here is the reason that this is being included in the show. America doesn't care. People who eat Hot Pockets were like, okay, fine. We'll just wait till they put them back on the shelf. All right. Nobody who eats Hot Pockets seems to be offended at this. They seem to just be...
It's because they eat Hot Pockets. They eat Hot Pockets. They don't have very high standards.
It takes a lot to get a regular eater of Hot Pockets concerned about his or her health.
But, I mean, really, diseased and unsound animals, and they're just, I don't care.
I think there's a certain reality in our country that we kind of know that a lot of the meat that we eat is bad for us because we eat a lot of fast food. We'd say it's probably not going to kill us if every other piece of shit I've eaten already hasn't killed me.
Kat, look at it like this. The FDA is actually involved in a lawsuit with Taco Bell right now because the FDA says there is so little meat in what Taco Bell calls meat that they legally should not be able to call it meat. Taco Bell is saying, well, if we can't call it meat, even if it's not, they're not disputing the fact that it's not actually meat. They're disputing the fact that they should still be able to call it such. And people still go to Taco Bell and eat quote unquote meat from there. Do we just not
Taco
care?
Taco Bell's fucking delicious. No, we don't care. Taco Bell's fucking delicious, dude.
Would it affect
and a lot of people
you?
Don't have a lot of food options.
Would it affect you in the least, Kat, if Taco Bell started advertising meat-like products? Would that
Dude,
stop
I've
you from
been
eating there?
No.
Ugh.
It wouldn't, because I like Taco Bell. I've been eating it in its, you know, below-grade meat. I've known for many, many, many years that I could eat cat food and would have more meat in it. It doesn't make it taste any less delicious.
That one you can blame on the marijuana. I think that is the only reason why I would ever eat Taco Bell. But I do love Taco Bell, and I'm not really going to be concerned about a health report about Taco Bell because it's not going to affect anyone unless you eat it, like, for every meal every day. And nobody should be doing that with anything, especially not Taco Bell. But I don't know. I think it is a legitimate public health concern, but I don't think people are going to get too upset about it because they know that Taco Bell is shit anyway. I mean, using fillers in the meat is the least of their problems. It's just not healthy in any way, so it's not really a concern that it might be even worse for you.
I just feel weird about this Hot Pocket Taco Bell thing, and I'm the guy who once ate a stick of butter dipped in sugar, and I'm the one going, that's gross.
How was it? Was it good?
It was really good. Don't judge me.
I can't because I eat a Taco Bell.
Exactly. If you eat Hot Pockets and Taco Bell, you don't get to judge me for the butter sugar stick, okay?
Hot Pockets!
Hot Pockets.
So let's move on from that to just something dumb. Okay, there's a thing we have. It's the Second Amendment. Allows you to carry firearms, right? It allows you to own firearms. Yvette Ross in Tampa, Florida, wanted to be able to carry her gun into the bank where she works as a manager. The bank fired her for it, saying, you cannot carry a gun into this business. She is now suing them, saying they are violating her constitutional right to carry a firearm. Your constitutional right to own a firearm is not the same as being able to carry it into a bank.
Now, according to the article, she's got a conceal and carry permit, but despite having that, her bank has rules saying that no employee is allowed to bring a gun in.
It's a Wells Fargo, we need to point out.
Yeah, so her argument is saying, well, constitutionally speaking, I have this permit that says I can carry my gun wherever I want. Well, no, because you also signed a piece of paper when you were hired on that says you're going to obey all of the rules set by this company. And if that company says that you're not allowed to carry a fucking gun onto the premises, you don't carry a fucking gun onto that premises as long as you want to be fucking employed there. So stupid. It's sort of this logic that, oh, well, because it says it in the Constitution, how I choose to interpret it, that that's going to protect me at all times, even though a private company has the rights to make those kinds of choices for their employees.
She also seems to feel that her concealed carry permit allows her to take it anywhere. I mean, would she be suing the courthouse if they said, ma'am, you cannot take this into a courtroom? Or a school if they said, ma'am, you cannot carry this loaded weapon into a school? Because I'm quoting here. I am within my constitutional right. The bank is one of the places I am able to carry a weapon. My weapon was concealed. I have a certified license. She seems to be misinterpreting Second Amendment, which she is absolutely flagging as her as the reason she's able to do this, with a concealed carry permit. That is disturbing. She also has another quote in here that really disturbs me, that she feels naked not having a gun on her at all times. That says there's something wrong in this woman's head to me.
Well, that makes me imagining a concealed weapon on a naked person. I mean, that's creative.
Well, no, I mean, that's why they do cavity searches when you go to jail.
This story, I don't know, like the different kinds of outrage kind of canceled each other out, leaving me not giving a shit about these people. I mean, it's true that Wells Fargo is a privately owned business. Any privately owned business has the right to set its own code of conduct for its employees. And she did sign a piece of paper outlining the code of conduct, one of which is the inability to carry a weapon onto the premises, which I agree with, and especially in a bank, because if there's going to be a bank robbery, you know someone who's suing for the right to carry a gun is going to be the first one to go all fucking Charles Bronson.
Oh, she wants that, Charlie. She wants that. Quote me again.
Yeah, she wants that very much. All gun nuts.
I'm going to quote from her again. Okay. I'm a manager of a bank. We have a lot of robberies that happen in our banks. I feel safer having that weapon if I ever needed to protect my employees. What she's saying is, I want to shoot a bank robber!
Yeah, the bank probably feels safer hiring security guards, which they do. It is not the responsibility of the manager to start blasting away in the event of a robbery. I'm not going to say all gun nuts. I was going to say it a moment ago. Not going to say that. This is not true for all people that are into guns. I just think it's true for a fuck of a lot of them. They have these fantasies of stopping a robbery and being a hero and shit like that, but they're putting way more people in danger than they need to be. The bank has security guards. It's not the job of the manager to be involved in that shit.
I just think that the United States has this culture brought to us by conservative gun nuts that because we have the Second Amendment that you are allowed to do anything with a gun and take it anywhere you want, and that somehow the Second Amendment is going to protect you from other laws. And it just doesn't. And we have rules set in place to protect people. And you can't just decide that you're going to ignore the rules that you either chose to ignore or you didn't learn anything about out of your own pure ignorance. I mean, it's a really dangerous mentality. And that's why concealed carry is such a hotly debated topic. Because we have people who think that because there's a Second Amendment that says what they choose to think it says, that they can do anything that they want, and they can take their weapons anywhere that they want, and it's just kind of dangerous.
It's going to get worse, too. Her lawyer, Roz's lawyer, is trying to really push this into giving concealed carry owners, concealed carry permit owners, a right that supersedes a business to decide whether they want guns on their premises. Quoting.
I do not agree with that at all.
No, just wait till you hear his quotes, Charlie. He's nuts, this lawyer. Just listen to this. Quoting. Employers can't discriminate against their employees, nor can they discriminate against their customers if they, law-abiding, licensed and concealed permit owners, just because it's in their handbook, Wells Fargo's, doesn't mean that it's correct or it will withstand a legal scrutiny or a legal investigation, which is what we're doing in this case. There's nothing in the state statute that says the employer has to let her bring it into the building, but she's a good person who elected to defend herself as she is constitutionally permitted. The Second Amendment is not a privilege, it is a freaking right, unquote. He actually added that freaking right was in the quote, by the way.
Yeah,
so what he's saying is, we are going to sue for the right to say, no, Wells Fargo has no right to say to set its own guidelines for what its employees can do, Roz gets to carry a gun anywhere she goddamn pleases. That's the part that disturbs me. He's fighting this on a constitutional level.
Really make me respect a lot of these kind of stories is that if they weren't so transparently attention whoring that it makes you sick. I mean, I would love to read a story where someone has a concealed weapon permit. They want to take their gun to work. Work won't allow it, so they quit and find a different fucking job, one that allows them to carry their gun to work. That would be fine. If it's such a strong belief that you're holding, then don't bitch about it until you get your way. Quit your job and find one that allows you to carry a gun.
I mean, that seems like the most obviously simple solution. You don't like your work's policies, don't work for them anymore. But don't waste everybody's time trying to combat a law just because you don't like it.
There's also that disturbing aspect that Flatterstein, Roz's attorney, is basically trying to say, as a private business, guns will be on your premises and you have no right to say no to that. That's the part that is dangerously disturbing. Don't you agree?
I would, yeah. I find that kind of bad where somebody's trying to say, I know you're your own privately owned business and you make all the decisions, but you don't get to make a decision about guns because that's what we're interested in. There are some amounts of regulation that are necessary for companies to follow in order to, I don't know, operate in this country because we need equality and we need safety and we need other things. We don't need guns in every single fucking building because people want them there.
I would also like to point out the Second Amendment that they keep throwing up. Have you guys ever actually read the Second Amendment? It is allowing guns for a, quote, well-regulated militia, not a crazy bank manager who wants to shoot a bank robber. That's not the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is about a well-regulated militia. You notice that word in there, regulated, not I can do anything I want with a freaking gun.
Actually, if we're going to talk about this, how about the word militia, which we don't actually really have in this country anymore because we have an army. Yeah, because we have an army, so we don't actually need militia anymore. But anyway, we don't really have to argue the Constitution tonight.
Do you guys have anything else to say on this? Otherwise, we're going to go to break and we'll come back and talk about disturbing cop stuff.
Let's talk about disturbing cop stuff.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Heart Attack, guys. I am Heart D. Fisher, and man, if you have not heard the hour-long Heart Attack, this week we got a barn burner. Me and Josh go tooth and nail arguing with each other over some stuff. It's a hell of a discourse. Today, here on Heart Attack, I want to talk about, we have talked a lot about the harassment of various political factions online. And so I've got an article here from RT.com about how Western spy agencies are building cyber magicians to manipulate online discourse. Well, let me put that into you in English. Our spy agencies in America have several different agencies that are dedicated to harassing online politics. They are here to harass guys like Josh and me. According to this article, secret units within the Five Eyes Global Spying Network engage in covert online operations that aim to invade, deceive, and control online communities and individuals through the spread of false information and the use of ingenious social science tactics. Now, some of these teams are highly trained professionals with several main objectives, such as, quote, to inject all sorts of false material onto the internet, to use social sciences and other techniques to manipulate online discourse and activism to generate outcomes it considers desirable. This new information comes from a document from the Joint Threat Research Intelligence Group of Britain's government communications headquarters entitled The Art of Deception, Training for Online Covert Operations, which is top secret and only for dissemination within the Five Eyes Intelligence Partnership that includes Britain, the U.S., Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. Holy shit, New Zealand? Wow. Just the name Five Eyes sounds really satanic.
It sounds kind of Illuminati-ish, doesn't it?
It is, dude, and here's the document outlines what tactics are used to achieve JTRIG's main objectives. Among these tactics, they seek to, quote, discredit a target, include false flag operations such as posting material online that is falsely attributed to a target, fake victim blog posts, writing as a victim of a target to disseminate false information. That one's actually happened to me. I've had a lot of false information about me put out on the web by people that claim I victimized them in some way. Sound interesting to you? How about and posting negative information, whatever pertinent online? Other discrediting tactics used against individuals include setting a, quote, honey trap, using sex to lure targets into compromising situations, changing a target's photo on social media site, and emailing or texting colleagues, neighbors, friends, etc. to discredit a company may leak confidential information to companies via the press, via blog, post negative information on appropriate forums, or stop deals to ruin business relationships. Guys, this is real stuff. This is from the spy company's own manuals, their own ideas of how to deceive you online. And these manuals and these tools are also being used in our own country for political purposes. Now, the tactics employed by these guys are not used for spying on other nations, militaries, or intelligence services. They're being used, quote, for traditional law enforcement, end quote, against those merely suspected of crime. These targets can include members of Anonymous, hacktivists, or really any person or entity they deem worthy of antagonizing. This is from our own government. Now, Josh, you wonder why maybe your identity was fucking stolen as our voice, our political voice grows? Guys who are listening to Heart Attack need to be aware we're growing. We have a network of people that are now getting involved and contacting us and giving us information. When I say I have a worldwide information network, I do. It's you guys, the fans. You guys give me all kinds of information. You guys hit me up on Twitter. You hit me up on Facebook. If you want to find me, I'm on Facebook. Then you can get my personal contact info and you can talk to me without Facebook spying on us. All right. You can go to Twitter and tweet me, Heart_Fisher, AmericanHorrors.com. Go check us out. Go to 1201beyond.com. But these things are real, guys. This isn't some fucking conspiracy. This is from their own manuals. They've got issues like the 10 principles for influence, the time principle, the need and greed principle, the deception principle, the dishonesty principle, the social compliance authority principle, the herd principle, the consistency principle, the distraction principle. You want to know why Miley Cyrus is rammed down your throat? The distraction principle, the flattery principle. This is disgusting. This blows my fucking mind, and it's real, guys. It's being used on you on Facebook. It's being used on you on Twitter. It's being used on you in these TV shows. They're all working to control our government and to control you. And thank goddamn jumping Christ, this Snowden guy got out and started the ball rolling so that we could find this stuff out. And so we could talk. We could talk about all the politicians that are in charge of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement that are all on the payroll of major corporations. I don't know, guys. This kind of thing is exactly what Josh and I were talking about. We go, why the fuck would you hack Josh's identity when his credit is shit? He doesn't have a lot of money. He's a bad investment. It's high risk with Josh. I think that you got targeted, man. I think somebody had a desire to take a piece out of you. Oh, all of a sudden your electricity disappears for a couple days, Josh, and all your items are destroyed, like your fridge. It's a constant whittling of the infrastructure of your enemy. Folks, Americans, open your goddamn eyes. You're being played, America. You're being fucking played. Are you a dummy? Are you a fucking dummy, America? Are you going to let them do this to you, America? Because I don't think so. I think you're better than that. I think you're smarter than that. I think we can take these motherfuckers on and take them down. They think they're so fucking smart. They're not. And we're going to prove it.
Late.
everyone knows I have issues with police abuses and whatnot. Charlie, you're a stoner. I know you don't jog, so I'm not going to ask you this question. Kat, do you ever go jogging at all?
Occasionally.
Do you make sure that you carry your ID with you?
No.
Well, it's a good thing you aren't jogging in Austin. Two Austin police officers, I guess, pulled over, even though it's jogging, but for the sake of argument, let's say they stopped and pulled over a jogger who they demanded that, just for no reason, white lady, jogging, they demanded to see her ID. She didn't have it on her. They arrested her for failing to show them her ID. And, of course, she threw a fit. This got on video, and it went viral. Why does she even have to show her ID? Are we in Nazi Germany with papers, please? Show me your papers! Are we at
that was their catchphrase.
Well, first of all, are we at that point where you have to, that not having ID on you is a crime now?
Now, wasn't she actually stopped for jaywalking?
Yes, but that's not what she was arrested for. She was arrested for not showing them her ID when they requested it. That's the disturbing part.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So, for those of you who don't go out jogging or anything, typically, if you're going to go jogging during the day where there are lots of people around, so you're less likely to get mugged or raped or whatever could possibly traumatically happen, you don't usually necessarily carry everything on you. You've usually got some music because your clothes don't really have pockets. Because, newsflash, girl workout clothes don't usually have pockets. They're not built for that. They're built to look sexy or something. I don't know. So there's not a whole lot of places to put your ID when you're jogging. You could put them in your shoes. I guess you could step on them the whole time, or you could put it down your shirt and get everything all sweaty. And that's about it. I mean, you could put it down your pants if you wanted, but that would be kind of silly. There aren't a whole lot of places for you to stash a lot of stuff when you go working out somewhere, just taking a jog. You usually got your MP3 player, and that's usually, or your phone or whatever, and that's usually about it. So the likelihood of, you know, random person out jogging actually having their ID on them, very slim.
We also have to point out, this is Austin, Texas. The same Austin, Texas that just got smacked for unconstitutionally taking DNA samples. Yeah, this is the same Austin that if you got pulled over for any reason, broken taillight, whatever, Austin police took a mouth swab to create a DNA database until the ACLU went, whoa, back the fuck up, Austin. You don't get to just take someone's ID. And keep in mind, they weren't arrested. Just getting pulled over got your DNA taken, you know, in case you do something later. So I think Austin has a little bit of an issue with, you know, constitutional rights. But the reason we're actually talking about this is the police chief. Oh, my God. I love police chief Art Acevedo. I'm going to read his quote here because, okay, I'm just going to read his quote. This person absolutely took something that was as simple as Austin police stop and decided to do everything that you see in that video, which would be her throwing the fit and crying and whatnot. Quoting Acevedo again. And quite frankly, she wasn't charged with resisting. She's lucky I wasn't the arresting officer because I wouldn't have been as generous. In other cities, there's cops who are actually committing sexual assaults on duty. So I thank God that this is what passes for controversy in Austin, Texas, unquote. Did he just say, you're lucky my officers didn't sexually assault her too?
It does sound like that.
What? It's really just, he's so poorly worded, whatever. Like, he just doesn't have that filter that most people should have before they speak in front of other human beings. That, be careful how you word things, because you're going to sound like a real douche. And he obviously just doesn't have that filter to tell him how to speak the words right, because he made that horrible mistake of not only what he was saying, but how he chose to say it. Because when you read that, all I heard was, she should be lucky I wasn't the arresting officer. And then that just automatically connected with the word sexual assault. So what he said was, in other cities, cops do this and they do that, and it's terrible, and I would have charged her with resisting arrest. But what I heard was, she should be lucky I didn't sexually assault her myself. If I was the arresting officer, that's what I would have done. I mean, that is absolutely what I heard.
And then later said, well, at least we didn't rape her. Yeah, Austin needs better cops.
And this is the chief of police. I mean, I can understand if this was, you know, a lieutenant or something. This is the, I mean, the commissioner is the only one ahead of this guy. And him being this callous. And then he follows it up saying he released an apology, which is almost as bad. But he claimed that this is all due to, it's a result of a really emotional week. I'm going to read his apology quick. Quoting again. During the press conference, I attempted to place the arrest into context by bringing attention to the fact that law enforcement officials deal with many acts of serious misconduct. This includes recent instances in the news of sexual assault by police officers in other cities. In hindsight, I believe the comparison was a poor analogy, and for this I apologize. I stand committed to transparent leadership and will continue to engage the community we serve in an open, honest, and timely manner. Unquote. That's some ass covering right there, isn't it? That is, all of a sudden, the police union's lawyer going, smacking him upside the head. What the fuck was wrong with you?
Like, you could tell, like, somebody else wrote that for him and carefully worded all of it.
Oh, yeah. That was not Acevedo writing that.
Blaming it on an emotional week was the kicker for me. I mean, that's pretty much, he said something so incredibly vile and sexist and then used what was essentially the Menzies excuse to explain why he said it.
It was his time of the month.
Yeah.
I've had many times of the month and I've never, ever, you know, said well,
you're
at least
lucky
I
didn't
rape.
Raped.
Yeah, I was, well, I may be having a bad week because of Mother Nature, but at least I didn't rape anybody.
It's good that you can that you don't condone jogger rape.
Okay, that was bad. But then we have the incident of Robert Jackson in Brooklyn that the cops just blatantly lied because they didn't know they were being shot on film. Well, Robert Jackson is a 31-year-old man. He does not have a driver's license. He has a suspended license. He was sitting in the passenger seat of his girlfriend's SUV, okay, outside their Brownsville home. Well, the police, while chasing another suspect in their car, hit his SUV. The police then charged him with driving without a license and hitting them. Mm-hmm. All the while, they're saying, you know what? Just believe us. We're the cops. All of a sudden, surveillance video from a neighbor's house camera shows that, actually, Robert Jackson did nothing wrong, and every single thing you're charging him with is bullshit. I don't know if there's a racial angle here. Jackson is black. The officers were white. But how do you get, we hit a guy sitting in the passenger side of a car with, he was driving without a license and hit us. How the fuck do you do that as a cop and expect us to trust you as a cop?
I mean, this is like idiocy at its finest. Here's a little teaching point, ladies and gentlemen. There are cameras everywhere. You are always being watched and monitored. This is a fact. We know this to be true. Don't do anything fucking stupid when there's a potential for cameras to be around you. I mean, don't all cop cars have fucking cameras in them anyway?
They do. Yes.
Like,
yep, dash cams.
So don't go lying about stupid shit. And then expect not to get caught. And I guess that's like the whole thing is that he thought no one's going to know. It's going to be my word against his. And had there not been a camera around filming it, he might have gotten away with it. And that's really sick to think about. But thank God for the honest citizen who had the little camera outside their house or however they got the footage. Because, of course, by now the charges have been dropped after that video
after
went out.
After 6 months and multiple court appearances. To me, the video should have been one court appearance. Yeah, the officers lied. You're done. You're free to go.
Yeah. What kills me is that this is just a tremendous waste of everyone's time and money. If the cop had just been honest about what happened, it would have been, you know, like, oop, my bad. Here, this is going to suck for me. My department's going to have to pay to fix this person's car.
Oh, no. The police union or the police department, they didn't even pay to have his vehicle fixed. He's suing them for that. They wouldn't even pay for his vehicle to get fixed that they hit.
Well, because the records are all fucked up now, and I don't know. Anyway, so if he'd have done this the honest way and said, you know, like, here's a phone number you can call, here this, here that, you know, we'll have somebody come and look at it, whatever. He could have done this the honest way, and it could have been resolved with maybe one hearing. But no, he had to go and lie about it. And now how many of the American tax dollars of that city, county, state, whatever, are being wasted on this trial and these cases that are all having to come up, and how much time is this poor judge having to throw at this case that should never have existed if this were just an honest cop.
There's also the fact that both these officers who have been caught blatantly lying and making up facts and evidence, doesn't that bring every arrest that they've made, even just in the last year, into question?
Beyond the last year, I think.
I'm going benefit of the doubt the last year. Doesn't that say, I mean, if I was a good defense lawyer, well, if I was a defense lawyer at all, I don't even have to be good, and I saw that one of my clients was arrested by one of these two cops, I would immediately say they made up the evidence in this case. Mm-hmm. and have to get that trial reopened. This is going to go long beyond Jackson's lawsuit. These two cops being caught red-handed on camera, lying about every single aspect of this case, is going to affect New York City hardcore. And the fact that these cops are not even being censured, their jobs aren't even in jeopardy. They've been caught lying and planting evidence, essentially. Why are they still cops?
Kat brought up an interesting point earlier. There are cameras everywhere now, and that's usually a bad thing, but I will, you know, I'll just scroll past the duck-faced drunk bar selfies if it'll keep the cops more honest. So I do think that's a good thing, that we have so many cameras available in any given situation. I don't think they're being used correctly, but that's an argument for another time. What I think is especially ironic in this case, though, is that the footage that Jackson is using as his defense in his countersuit for damages to his car, that's a home security camera that a private citizen had. This is not like a chemical fucking weapons depot or a jewelry store. This is just a guy's house that he feels like he has to have a security camera for. He probably felt he needed the security camera because of the shitty cops in Brooklyn that are not making him feel any safer. And I think it's great that this security camera is what's going to fuck the cops in the end.
Just so we all know, security cameras are not hard to get a hold of. We stock them at my...
$100.
Yeah, you can buy super cheap ones, and as long as you have the right amount of storage, it's not an expensive thing to get for your own private home or business. And a lot of people are starting to invest in them more and more, not going to lie. We see a lot of customers where I work buying them.
The cops in this are wrong on every single level, and yet they're the ones making Jackson jump through all these hoops because they lied about him. You know, this is the kind of thing, if you saw it in a movie, you'd go, that is so unrealistic.
Yeah. That doesn't even happen in real life. No.
There's no way somebody wouldn't see through that. Even with this being exposed by the New York Times, the cops are still going, we didn't do nothing wrong. I mean, I guess they deserve some credit for sticking with their story, but that can only go so far, right?
I don't know. I think the only good that could come out of this is if Jackson wins his countersuit and there's more accountability for the police. And I will wait on that at the same time while I'm waiting for my orgasm-powered car.
And then I also want to talk real quick about the Comcast Time Warner debacle we've got coming. You guys have both read about this, right?
Not beyond that article you sent me.
What it comes down to is Comcast is the largest cable and internet provider in the country. Time Warner is the second largest. They want to merge and become some new company that doesn't have a name yet. They want to be like Com Warner or something. Now, here's the funny thing. Comcast has the worst customer service rating of any cable and internet company in America. Time Warner has the second worst customer service rating. So you want to take the two worst companies with the two highest prices, give them a complete monopoly. If they come together, they would have 300 million customers, more in one company than all of their competition combined. So it's essentially a monopoly. Why is this a good thing? Why should this merger go through? Because it most likely will. Why are more people not scared of this like I am?
I would say most people just don't understand how... Well, first off, I hadn't even heard about it until you sent me the article. So I don't know if they're trying to play it low or play it off, but I haven't really been hearing about it at all.
That's part of the problem. People don't want to talk about it. This will affect, well, the entirety of the internet and television itself.
I don't think the merger should go through. I don't think there is a good reason for it to go through. I think that once companies merge and become monopolies, they're effectively buying themselves the option of not giving a shit, because customers can bitch all they want, but if there's no other option, then they can go get fucked.
Exactly. And see, here's the thing. Netflix has been having issues with Comcast already. Netflix obviously uses a shit ton of bandwidth, and their Netflix has, you know, so many customers. Well, Comcast has been saying, you're using all of our bandwidth, so they've been ratcheting down Netflix's usage. One of the reasons we need to keep net neutrality. And they finally came to an agreement. Netflix just this week made a deal with Comcast. We don't know the details, to get all of their bandwidth back up, most likely cutting Comcast in on share of the profits. Verizon has been trying to start their own Netflix. Well, that means then Netflix is, whatever the Verizon version of Netflix is going to be outside of this. Verizon is a direct competitor to Comcast and Time Warner. Do you think Comcast and Time Warner are going to give them a good deal? Or do you think they're going to stifle them in their infancy stage and say, what are you going to do about it? We have 300 million customers. You've got like 50 million. What are you going to do? You're not real competition to us. Either pay us exorbitant fees or get the fuck off of our internet. It takes away choice from the consumer. Also, the fact that you guys realize that Comcast owns Universal, right? Which owns NBC. So, yes, Kat, we're about to defend Fox News.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So, that means Comcast owns MSNBC. Now, if they have 300 million TV customers, they can give MSNBC proprietary treatment and say, hey, Fox News, maybe you get a lot of service interruptions, or we bury your channel in the 500 numbers. We can do the same to CNN. We can do the same to any competitor. This is absolutely the definition of why net neutrality needs to remain.
Well, you're absolutely right, because this is really, really scary. I already live in an area where there's not a whole lot of a lot of choice for internet providers. So I live, you know, just a couple of miles away from the stick. And to think that we're moving towards potentially that being the choice for everybody, like nobody, even who do live in some form of civilization, not having any choice, is really, really frightening. And to know that there's almost, I don't think we can even do anything about it. They have every right to do it. Is it a good thing for everybody? No, absolutely not. But they have the right to do it.
Not necessarily, because there are anti-monopoly laws. And there is a difference between the oligopoly we already have and the monopoly that they want. But that's a discussion for a different time. There may be legal options, but...
Well, in the interest of being fair and balanced, like Fox News, following their heroic example, I have worked customer service jobs for both Comcast and for Time Warner. One thing I've always wanted to say...
So you were one of the bad customer service issues.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Because those companies, they don't have their own customer service departments to a large extent. I mean, they have like a couple of departments for certain kinds of calls, but anything having to do with service upgrades or anything else, they don't even bother with that. They either outsource the work out to American privately owned American call centers, or international call centers in India and the Philippines, shit like that. So it's not going to affect the companies themselves in any way. If they have shitty customer service, they can justify it away. So that's all right. But one thing that I've always wanted to say during these angry calls of people bitching about their service, cable and internet are elective services. I mean, there are people that need internet for reasons of employment. In a case like that, their employer would most likely be providing internet service to them. And Josh, in your case, a freelance writer who also uses the internet for work, you do have other options. You can go to a public library to use the internet.
I also am part, I have an independent service provider. They are not part of a large company. They are located in my area. And yes, I pay a little bit more for it, but they're not part of the Six Strikes Law. They don't ratchet down my internet, and they're not part of any of this bullshit. I'm happy with my little independent provider, and I think you're going to see more of them start to pop up.
What I've always wanted to tell them, though, is don't have the service then. If you're going to bitch about it that much, then either make your own or shut the fuck up about it.
But now there won't be an option. It'll be, where else are you going to go? If you want the internet, this is it.
That's what I think Comcast and Time Warner are simultaneously trying to do. They're trying to buy their way out of having to care.
There's also the fact of what this is going to do to the American unemployment. What happens when companies merge together? They liquidate.
Yeah.
They have already estimated that between 15 and 20% of all human employees at the two companies, should this merger go through, will be laid off. So not only do they fuck the customer, it also gives them the right to raise your prices, and they're laying off 15 to 20% of their workforce, putting those people out on the street. But this is good for America, right? Big business. Actually, Glenn Beck was on his Nutball radio show just last week saying that this is a boon for America. And he was trying to say that this was a good thing. By the way, Time Warner, one of his advertisers.
Yeah.
Transparency.
What exactly were his reasons that this was a good thing? Like, where was his justification for that?
Teamwork.
His justification, competition is why prices keep going up, because they have to compete with each other. So there's less competition, then everybody can agree on the same price, and therefore everybody gets it cheaper.
Yeah, wow, and that same price is going to be however high the fuck they want it to be.
Uh-huh.
For a guy who touts about how amazing big business is, he sure doesn't understand how it fucking works.
He also has been fired from Fox News for a couple of years, too. He's on his own now, remember?
God, when his shit stinks so bad, even Fox News doesn't want him.
This is what's going to happen should this merger go through. Because they will now have such a monopoly, Verizon, AT&T, and all their competitors will have to raise prices to be able to stay competitive. And even the Netflix thing, they just made that deal with Comcast. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen, because that just happened about 3 days before we're recording this. Netflix had to pay Comcast a fee or cut them in on profits. Do you think Netflix is going to absorb that or pass that on to you, the customers? You people are going to be paying for this new deal, literally.
You people.
You people.
Yeah, what do you mean, you people?
I mean you people. Not just you two, but you people listening.
It's sort of the double-edged sword of technology. I mean, the more technology we have, the more convenient life becomes, the more time it frees up for us to bitch about it. And I don't think that's ever going to stop. I think that's now part of the human condition. It's now a way of life. I think that's what people are going to do for the rest of time.
Well, he went kind of existential on me there. I was just going to say maybe there's some legal ground to stop this potentially very horrible monopoly from going on. For the record, I use AT&T U-verse because they don't suck like Comcast.
Well, and see, I look at this as this is also a dangerous, dangerous thing for net neutrality on a different level.
This is going to set such an irresponsible precedent.
Not just that, but think about this. What about this show right now, this episode we're recording? Say someone tries to download this show, bitching about Comcast, Time Warner, or whatever they're going to be called in the future. They might say, hey, that download's extremely slow on that show that was critical of us. Hey, Fox News was very critical of us. Maybe the videos on their website download incredibly slow. MSNBC, though, they'll load instantaneously. MSNBC will be on our homepage because we own them. Fox News, we're going to bury. It allows them to dictate content
That's some supervillain shit, man.
This is not just some supervillain shit. This is like North Korea kind of shit. When you have a company who can determine what content they want you to see, and then they can actually determine your access to it, that is not freedom.
No, it isn't. This is a bad, bad thing. The deal is not set in stone. It's only 98% going through the paperwork and the steps at this point. So there's a small possibility this could be blocked. But it's a very small possibility. While people can still hear this show if they're a Comcast or Time Warner subscriber, where can they find the cat?
You can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat, and you can find me on Facebook.com/NerdistCat, and you can also find me on my other podcast, Nerd to the Third Power, on ThatGuyWithTheGlasses.com under the podcast tab.
Charlie, you've given us existential wisdom from on high.
Indeed.
Where can people find more of that?
Well, my address is 1140. No, I'm not going to. Okay. That's literally where you can find it. But you can find it on Facebook, on Twitter, for as long as I still have an internet, and also at geekjuicemedia.com, right alongside fucking Beard Captain over there.
Watch your tone, boy.
That's Captain Beard.
Yeah, get it right. Captain
Sorry,
Spurs.
I was reading it from the phone book.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond at gmail.com. And hit me up at geekjuicemedia.com as well, where all this crap is, along with that weird-eyed McMullen guy. Yeah. Have a good night, guys.
Is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.